everybody. Welcome back to Pack Your Mics, the podcast about Top Chef from the creators of Read and Weep. This week, we're talking about season 12, episode 10. We've been gone for a little while, but we're excited to be back with you. It's an exciting day for everybody. I'm Alex Falcone here in Portland with Megan. Hi, Megan.
Hi.
And we're joined, as always, by Tanya and Chris in Brooklyn.
Hey, hey, hey.
What it do?
And Ezra and Sarah and a baby in the Bay Area.
Hello.
Bay Area.
Yeah. Bay Area.
All right, let's get into the show, you guys. It's been so hard to have no show for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I've always been wondering, what is Dougie doing? How's May's headband game? And now we
know. What have you guys done to pass the time?
I watched a different TV show.
Yeah, what did you watch?
Whoa. Sarah, are there TV shows?
There are other TV shows. Yeah, no, Sarah and I started and finished You're the Worst, which is a totally fun kind of like, I guess, black-hearted romantic comedy on FX. Yeah, it's just like, if you ever thought you like want to have like a lot of like pretty like raunchy sex descriptions along with your romantic comedy.
Always.
Probably.
Is that what whenever you say black-hearted, do you just mean sexy?
No, it's dark
humor.
Yeah, it's sort of like...
They're bad people, but you like them.
Yeah, they're pretty bad people.
Interesting.
Like, yeah. But like, you're definitely on their side because the people around them are like worse in a different way.
Huh. Chris and Tanya, what have you guys watched to get the time going by?
I feel like I've been watching a lot of movies.
You watched a lot of movies. You got a cold.
I got a terrible cold.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I hope you're feeling better, and then I realized the last episode was a while ago, so it's kind of...
Yeah. I got sick, and then I missed the chats about the giant sausage.
Right.
That was too bad.
giant sausage.
Don't worry. There was some hot dog talk today.
Do you have anything to add to the giant sausage thing in post? Like, that we just... Like, hold in. We can be part of canon right now. You have sausage talk right now.
Sausage talk.
Welcome back to Tanya's sausage talk.
Because we watched it on the plane, so I was very like, I felt so focused, and then I wasn't able to chime in at all.
Right.
Okay. Here's my note that I will use. I wrote, Tom's tight little smile when he made the thing one and thing two joke was the best. Could be an audiobook of Tom's bedtime stories. Lord knows he's reading to his boys.
Yeah, he is.
They're also like non-jokey that when they do make a joke, they seem very proud.
Yeah. They're impressed with themselves.
Yeah,
it's so adorable.
Tom is as impressed when he makes a joke as I am when I make mac and cheese.
Yeah, that, and I have a raging crush on Frances Lam.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, still. You do.
You really do.
In person sometimes, and Tanya's just like,
Yeah, it's the best.
Yeah. We watched a little, we started watching season 2 of MasterChef Junior.
Oh, yeah.
Super cute.
And I am not sure how I feel about it. I know you guys liked it.
I think the world likes it.
I like it, sure, but I feel it kind of like I have to watch it. I wish it were like 20 minutes long, not an hour long. Mm-hmm.
The first two we watched, I was just so thoroughly delighted, and then it just there's something amiss, and it just started to get like harder and harder to watch.
I think it's Gordon Ramsay.
I mean, I like Gordon. I actually think Gordon's great, and I like him with kids because he's sort of like melted butter now. He is
great with kids. Yeah,
he is. He's super good. Although I hate both of those other guys. Who are they?
Maybe it's them.
Why are they on my television?
Well, I think the real question is, Alex, how do you feel about breaking kids' hearts for a sport?
Well, see, now normally I'd be into that, but it feels like they spend a lot of time complimenting them for not doing anything, and so it's a weird balance.
My issue is always just they spend like half of every episode just asking how old they are again.
Yeah, that's
true. And where are you from?
Disconnected aunts and uncles.
Yeah, it's like, and you're 12. That is fantastic. You're only 12.
Sure, you're only 12.
Yeah, you recorded with him yesterday, Gordon. You must remember these 12.
I've gotten older.
Well, they all
know when his birthday is.
That's true.
That's true.
Why is there already a season 3? I just noticed on my Hulu queue.
Oh,
does anyone know?
I don't know.
Also, I can't really speak to your Hulu queue.
Explain my queue, Chris.
The way Sarah says Hulu queue is magical.
We also say Kulu sometimes.
Really?
That's pretty good.
This is great. I just want to know what other weird names you guys have.
Well, it's because...
Cancel the episode.
It's because we have our friend Sarah Anderson from Denmark, and
shout out to Sarah.
And,
hey,
and
Sarah.
Anyway, so she loved Hulu when she was in America, and like the way she pronounced it was like
Hulu,
and like it just seemed like a much better pronunciation of Hulu.
So now we call it Hulu, and it's our Hulu Q.
I love that story, and I also cannot get enough of your baby licking your iPhone in the background.
That's the only thing that'll keep him quiet.
Is it sealed? Are you worried about it?
I have a case on it, okay. But no, it's not sealed.
He's just licking from top to bottom.
I mean, it's a 5C. If it shorted out, it wouldn't be the worst
thing. It's a year and a half old. His mouth isn't that wet. He's only a baby.
That's not the last part.
He's a drool monster.
Yeah.
It's really, he's getting in there.
Well, speaking of drool monsters.
I now have a photo for the show notes if you want them.
Oh, thank you. It's really distracting and wonderful. I just thought the only thing I'll say about the MasterChef Junior that was weird too is that it's very unclear what they're actually capable of cooking wise. Like, the first one I watched was a cupcake challenge, and they just had a thing labeled, like, proper amount of flour and proper amount of sugar, and you just poured the bags in, and then they, like... And it's I think they are doing impressive things. One of the kids made sugar designs, but, like, sure. Because they're lying to us about what the kids are doing and not doing,
right.
It's hard to know when to be impressed.
Well, at the very least, Alex, the word proper is difficult at if you're 8 years old. So like they can read that.
Vocab word. Vocabulary word.
It's true.
Spelling word.
All right. Well, let's
do they ever throw in the wrong ingredient? So they're like, here's sugar, here's flour, here's citric acid. if they decide, they have the decision it's the proper amount.
This
is the right ingredient.
This is exactly what I'm wondering. I don't know. They'll do a meal and they'll be so thoroughly complimented on all of the elements of the meal except that they all cooked the protein wrong, every one of them, which reminds me a little bit of this show tonight. So,
Let's talk about Top Chef.
Let's talk about Top Chef, you guys. I've been sitting around waiting for a perfect segue to come across, and that was the best I could do.
Hop aboard that segue and mollycoddle your way to glory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Has anyone ever been on a Segway for a long amount of time? Your feet actually kind of hurt after
you
a while.
You ruined the Segway!
Segway out!
No, I haven't. Did you take a Segway tour? I've always wanted to Segway tour.
Indeed. You ruined the Segway with a Segway.
Yeah. That's a Segway.
Segway chats.
Welcome back to... we're doing a tour of Segways.
In D.C., I took one with Sarah and my parents. And
yeah, they hurt.
Their feet hurt, but it is pretty fun.
But it's standing is basically, is that why?
Yeah, because you're standing for 3 hours. Kind of like overcooking your meat.
not quite as good, but I'll take it. all right, so let's talk about the quickfire, actually, before we get to undercooking and overcooking meat. So the quickfire today, make ramen with ingredients from random college kids at Emerson. And then also, I think part of the challenge was to reminisce about college.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Part of the challenge was for me to
went to college.
Well, that's always the problem. Is there's always some working class kid who's like, "Well, I didn't go to college. I worked my way through school at a restaurant since I was 12, and I've just ramen is hard to make." I don't know.
Yeah.
There's always somebody who didn't participate.
This would have been an issue a lot earlier in the season when there were a bunch of people who were really vocal about not having had the money or the time to go to culinary school or college,
right?
Mm-hmm. And that's not really the case anymore, which is interesting.
Yeah, I wonder if that was intentional or that's just how it worked out.
I feel like nothing about the eliminations is ever intentional in that way.
Right.
Like they're not, there's nothing strategic.
It's not class warfare.
It's not class warfare.
But at the same time, Kintsugi, who walked across the border with $5 in his pocket, probably isn't reminiscing about his time in the dorms.
Oh, that would have been so awkward for him to be talking about that.
But even May didn't stay in the dorms, right?
She lived at home.
So all of that weird dorm life is not. I guess was anyone thinking about what they would have had in their fridge when we were in college?
Well, it really depends on the year.
Yeah,
we were definitely talking about that, but senior year when Chris and Ez and I lived together.
We had a good fridge.
We had a lot of yogurt.
That doesn't seem as troubling. But I'm thinking about dorm
freshman
times.
Year dorm. It was mostly just nacho cheese and cheap beer.
I think it was everything I stole from from the dining hall, right?
Yeah, so it was like, I just had a ton of granola that was stolen from the dining hall.
Yeah.
Plus I had a bunch of opportunists.
Yeah, some Easy Mac.
Lots of Easy Mac.
I don't think I had
Oh, Easy Mac, yeah. Yeah.
We had a small fridge, but it was like it was my roommate's, and he was kind of a jerk, so it was like I couldn't put anything in there, or it might not be mine again.
I liked your roommate.
Oh, really? That's because you didn't have to live with him.
I liked everyone.
I know.
That's the thing.
Yeah, I would not have been good. I wonder, I mean, this is one of those, another one where I just wish, like, I just think the truth is more interesting than the reality show lie, is did these kids actually have to root through their dorm fridges, or was this kind of a setup where they're...
Well, there was that one guy that had, like, the gross half-used salsa thing.
Oh, yeah.
I was expecting a little bit more of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's what I at least according to Hugh's blog, it sounded like the pretense was that this is what these kids had in their fridges, but they were probably warned like, hey, we're going to do this challenge where we get the stuff from your fridge and we'll reimburse you. So the kids probably went to the store and got everything they actually wanted.
Yeah.
Well, and actually what I thought is they probably just had a larger sample size and they narrowed it down to people who had their things in their fridges.
There was like smoked salmon. There was
they wanted a wide spectrum of stuff. So you asked like 30 college students to share what's in their fridges.
That's interesting. It definitely seemed like you chose the bag randomly based on the looks of the college student. And it seemed like the choice that you made mattered a lot, because some of them definitely seemed harder than others.
This one is entirely cheese.
I like that one.
That would have been mine.
I mean, there were some amazing, like, even the ones that tasted bad, I felt like, well, it was a pretty good effort for that thing that you had.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, they did a real good effort, I think.
Also a great effort, Padma putting up with Andy Cohen.
What's the deal with Andy Cohen? So he's like he's on Watch What Happens Live. He's sort of a Bravo everywhere guy.
It's a Bravo meta show where they just interview people from their own shows. And Andy Cohen used to be a producer at Bravo, and they were like testing things to get ready for this show and like look actively searching for a host. And he did a bunch of tests apparently, like as a sit-in, and they were like, "You're perfect. We want to keep you." And so it's become his show. But this is like his first front of camera work, and he's just a Bravo lifer. Is the story that I've been told. It's really interesting.
I just want to like choke him, you know, like
I want to choke all the paparazzi that follow me.
I just want to choke him until one of his eyes starts twitching.
Let him
go. That's what you do.
And he's like, "That's one of you."
Yes, Sarah seems so nice, and she went straight to murder.
No.
He
didn't die.
I just
want to give him a little what for, you know?
This is old-timey discipline.
Padma would have loved that help, I bet.
Yeah, in Sarah's defense, Padma seemed pretty upset about it.
Definitely wanted to choke him,
too. She's like, let's get back to the challenge.
Yeah. I think, you know, what I realize is that the balance is ideal when it's Padma who's, like, comfortable on camera and great, and then, like, a famous chef who, like, is very uncomfortable. And it's just sort of like, hey, guys, go ahead and cook. Okay.
Yeah.
Having somebody who's like, let's do this thing is actually kind of awful.
Yeah, I don't like when they're too comfortable. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no, it's not good.
What was the hardest thing that someone cooked with? I remember Gregory did, he scraped the toppings off a piece of pizza.
Yeah,
broth.
To make a broth?
That made me very upset.
That was pretty awful.
There was also just like a shot of someone squeezing ketchup into a dish that just like,
we never saw where that went either. Yeah.
You didn't expect.
Well, my favorite thing was that May's like, if my dish had a name, it'd be Barfa Raw.
Yeah, she definitely knew she wasn't winning. And it was a perfect challenge that way because there's no immunity. It was $5,000 to the winner, so it was like, it's all upside, no downside.
Yep.
If you just had if you scraped pizza and made a broth and it sucked, well, you just made bad pizza broth.
It happens.
Not the worst thing that happened to you today.
Move on.
Melissa had her first win ever.
And Melissa got her first win, although
she's going to buy a scooter.
A lot of people have first wins later in the show, and it's just less impressive.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it's impressive that you're still there.
Yeah, yeah, right. The hard work was getting here, but now there's only four people cooking. You might win.
But all those people are supposed to be good.
Yeah. Well, right, they're good, but one of them might have pizza broth today. So,
well, she had just cheese, and I would broth. Like. I would have thought that was one of the harder ones. Is to well, except mix the cheese and ramen.
Except the judge said, "I want a very cheesy cheese thing."
Yeah, but cheese and ramen just sounds really disgusting to me. And she made it really good. So
interesting.
And Fritos?
The Fritos, I thought was a good idea, but
insight.
If you're comfortable with just the ramen noodles by themselves, adding anything to them is completely fine, as far as I can tell. Like they're just noodles.
Yeah,
without the seasoning.
Chuck anything in.
Yeah, if you're not dealing with that weird seasoning packet.
I mean, it's weird that we love macaroni and cheese, but if the noodles are longer, we get freaked out.
There's just that's a different taste to them. I don't know.
Well, there's a taste in the broth, but it's up to you what is the broth, right?
Like, I guess, maybe they're just dry. Separate the broth from the noodles.
Alex, I want that to be your tagline for your broth company. It's up to you what's in the broth.
Why are you saying it like he's like a chef from another country?
Well, I imagine
you what's in the broth.
No, I thought you'd be doing your own commercials, and I thought it'd be kind of like a local television type thing. And so, for Alex's broth company, it's like, it's up to you what's in the broth. I guarantee it.
I like that every time he says his own tagline, it sounds like he's trailing off.
It's because we hired someone who wasn't that comfortable in front of the camera. It's important.
Yeah, to come up with the tagline for your company.
Yeah.
It makes Alex's broth shine all the brighter.
Well,
but I was going to say, I was like, my notes reveal that I was convinced that Melissa was going home this episode.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
All the stuff about her and being friends.
Oh, yeah.
And just the fact that I feel like, and I don't know where I'm getting this, but I really feel like she's the weakest one.
Well, Melissa. She is.
Yeah, because she's made a lot of pretty big mistakes.
She has some of the no elimination wins by herself. She has no, no quick fire wins except for today.
Until today.
Yeah. She's always skating by.
I feel like she's the weakest chef except, I definitely spent the whole challenge today being worried for everybody. But,
oh, God, I was a mess.
It was kind of an intense elimination that way. And I saw, there were some early cuts of Gregory that I thought was an apology for him getting ready to leave. And it felt like everyone was going home today, except for George, who I desperately wanted to go home. Not because he's the weakest. Yeah. He's just because he's an interloper. He has no business being on our show.
He's not. It's not his fault.
No, it's not
George's fault.
No, I don't want him to be punished and sent off. I just want him to not be on the show anymore.
You don't
want
to choke him.
If George evaporated, everyone would be fine.
Yeah, no one would even notice that George. If he didn't wake up one morning and didn't make it to the challenge, they would not have noticed. They'd be like,
wait, did he just sleep in or did he die?
He slept in.
It's fine. Chefs. I mean, four chefs.
Yeah, yeah. They're just like, well, we brought this extra frying pan, I guess. Well, anyway, you four. No one would care. No one's day would be ruined that George is gone. He doesn't belong on the show.
He has slicked hair, though. That's interesting.
He's got a helmet head.
Oh, and by the way, when really Andy Pollack said something about his gel, did anyone notice Andy Cohen was also wearing a ton of gel in his hair?
Yeah.
Yes. Just
takes one to know one in terms of gel.
That sounds like someone who's about to choke a dude.
Yeah, I think you could choke him, and none of his hairs would be out of place.
So let's get jump into this scary elimination. So the challenge was to make something inspired by Julia Child, and to do as many Julia Child impressions as they could fit in.
Well, 3 out of 5 did impressions,
but they kept trying, and when they kept asking them about it. And Gregory's, whoever says, you do a great impression of her, is just falsetto. It's just Gregory's normal voice, but falsetto.
Yeah. Does anyone here have a good Julia Child impression?
Even if we do, you're not allowed to do it.
Why not? She has a funny voice. She has an objectively funny voice.
There must be some producer who's just in charge of, thinking of funny things to ask all the chefs to say in their talking heads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't like that part. I prefer when they're cooking than when they're trying to be funny.
Than when they're consummate professionals? Yeah.
Yeah, I prefer that when they're consummate. Okay, so let's talk about the challenge. They had, it was a 3-hour cook today, 1-hour cook tomorrow. And because it was Julia Child-related, apparently, everybody decided to braise something. Why do people always think they can braise?
Well, that's part of traditional French cooking, and Julia Child is all about that.
Yeah. But they gave him 3 hours.
Yeah, this is also about, butter and sautéing things. So, there are other options.
As far as I could tell, the only thing about Julia Child's cooking was making sure the vegetables didn't touch each other. That was the Jacques Pepin, the guest judge. He mentioned like six times in the introduction and Q&A that the vegetables needed to be separate from other things. And then every plate of food that came before me was like, well, good separation on the vegetables. And then the vegetables were too close.
No,
I heard some child. Who was that?
Alex, not to, I don't know. I disagree. I thought one of the things that Jacques said was that if Julia saw all the different vegetables as separate from one another, she'd be put off because, somebody had handled her food so much.
Was for too many vegetables, but you had to have your veg had to be away from your meat. You couldn't have them part of the, they couldn't be integrated.
There are a lot of vegetable rules.
It's clear that French people are OCD. That's the only thing
I think that Jacques had the realization. Like, come to think of it, Julia had some severe OCD.
But even Jacques, with the, what was it? It was the Duc à l'Orange, or there was something else where, or it was a Coq au Vin, where Gregory had included some carrots.
He added
and
carrots.
Peas.
And it was not.
And Jacques was like, these would not be on a traditional French dish.
And the carrots are too close to the meat. They should be more of a on the side.
Yeah.
So you know that they're different and that they weren't originally there.
Yeah.
Which is a very French thing.
These carrots should be on a plate that indicates punishment. We don't want them to think they're part of this. If we could have a convict colony for the carrots separately, that's where we would like them to be.
These carrots didn't grow up here.
Yeah. They're transplant carrots.
Back when they learned to be French.
Also funny that he was so upset about the Coq au Vin having carrots, but was fine with five spice in the Duc à l'Orange.
Well, I think May's dish was objectively awesome.
I'm sure it had to just taste great because they didn't seem like they had a clear philosophical picture on whether or not you're trying to do a traditional Julia dish or a Julia's dish reinterpreted through your grandparents' cooking.
I think that is perfectly valid.
Can anyone tell me what any of the five spices are?
No.
Well, I hope one of them is allspice, because that just makes it even easier.
I want one of them to be mace or I think one of them is anise.
Yeah, dude.
Anise.
Nice.
Star anise.
Star anise. All right. Four more.
Star anise.
Oregano. Oh. Just kidding.
Chris just looked it up, so now we're losing because we can't say.
Garlic?
Because we know.
Well, then what's the point?
Good job.
Wonderful.
All right. Star anise and then four things of allspice. Great. Yeah.
Can anybody name allspice?
All of the allspices?
All can you name all of the spices?
Yeah, allspice includes old spice and new spice and Spice Girls.
Yeah, ginger spice.
Yeah.
Ginger spice.
Yeah, that would have been so much funnier when you said, can you name five spice if we've been sporty spice and ginger spice.
Man.
Freaky spice.
Fixing the edit.
I'm not even sure I can name all of the Spice Girls.
Really?
Let's see.
Really?
Posh spice, baby spice, sporty spice, freaky spice, and ginger spice.
Is scary spice. Freaky.
Not correct.
Scary. Oh, it's scary, not freaky? Oh.
Yeah.
Freaky spice.
No one was like, I'm freaky spice.
Well, scary spice is not super a compliment, so... I don't know.
Well, I don't know, scary good at something?
Yeah, scary in the British sense.
Scary good football player.
It's a British
Megan,
thing.
What is scary in the British sense?
It means you have great hair.
Yeah.
They are very scared of good hair there. So... I guess we said that it could be it was okay to have your spin on it or not to. I guess what we weren't sure about is it just didn't seem like the judges it wasn't. Sometimes the challenge is put your spin on this, and sometimes it's not. And they didn't say to put their spin on it. It sounded like they weren't sure if they wanted that or not, even when they were first tasting it. But they loved the dish; it was so amazing. So that makes it an easier decision.
Yes.
Oh, and didn't May also put her spin on it by doing a puree instead of something else that is traditional in the Duc à l'Orange? It was more than just the five spices.
It was a little newer.
I didn't catch it. I realize now that people at home are totally teased right now. What are the other four spices, Ezra?
Cloves, Chinese cinnamon, Sichuan pepper.
Okay. Yep.
Fennel seeds, that's a common five spice mix, but you can swap out some other things. Sometimes there's nutmeg or ginger root or
it could be any five spices?
No, there's some other warm flavory spices sometimes.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah.
Can we talk about the braise again? I just think that I know it's an important part of French cooking, but it's also an important part of Top Chef that every season somebody tries and fails to use a pressure cooker, and someone says, I think I can, it's pushing it, but I can braise in 3 hours, and then can't.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Is like, I feel like we've seen finales where people have had beautiful braises, but that's where they have a lot more time.
Exactly.
To like, really cook their food. I think when people try a braise in a time pressure situation, and even 3 hours is, you know, comparatively for Top Chef Elimination Challenges, a pretty long amount of time.
It's decent.
3 hours up front and then 1 hour on the day. You know, a braise takes a long time. It takes a lot of attention that you can't use in other places.
Does anyone know how long the braise actually does take? Like,
I always assume 3 hours and 20 minutes because they just barely don't get there.
Another 20 minutes.
Yeah. Or like some resting time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, then there was poor Dougie, who decided to do a big risk reward on an entire goose liver of foie gras.
Friend of the show, Dougie.
Yeah. Oh, Dougie, you know, from the way he was talking, I thought he was going to be so confident and just like nail this thing.
That's what Megan and I were talking about, was that he seemed like, also when we interviewed him, he seemed so happy. It didn't seem like he could have lost. So
well,
I was so surprised.
It's a toe tap in good time, I think.
It does seem like it. He seems like just such a happy dude. Because even after the elimination, he seemed all right.
Maybe he runs the table in Last Chance Kitchen then.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
definitely rooting for him now. Also, I've never seen a whole loaf of foie gras, and it's gross.
Yeah, it's
goose
liver.
True. It's more for tasting than for looking at, I guess. So.
It's my best eye candy.
Well, it turns out there's a reason why you slice it and then cook it. So it gets cooked all the way through. Mm. Not so it just the outside, it becomes like a foie gras M&M.
As far as
it was bullshit, though, because like, they were fine about like Maize, like five spice duck l'orange, but like Dougie's like foie gras al dente wasn't good enough for them.
I think it's because it was raw on the inside.
I think they really undershowed. Like they backed off in the edit of how badly undercooked it was. I think it was probably real gross.
I mean, just since it's a thing that's already like hard to imagine being good, and then to undercook something like that is like, wow.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, that's the thing, and you know, gosh, George's meat was stringy. Melissa's meat was underbraised and overseared and dry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those are bad. But then raw foie gras.
Raw foie just can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Raw gras?
I don't know.
I read
another recap from somebody else, and he thought that George should have gone home this week. But, man, I just think that Doug, if he didn't nail that, it was going to send him home.
And I think he knew that, too.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he actually said that.
Yeah.
I like that he decided to just go like balls out on it, and as soon as he said, "I'm doing the full loaf of foie," Tom was like, "Wow, I like that. Like, I like your ballsiness. It's not gonna work, but I'm glad you're trying it." Like, it just seemed like he missed huge, and I that's a fine way to go.
He didn't seem torn up about it, and like as far as I could tell, like
he seemed all right. He did say he was beyond disappointed when he was.
Oh, I missed that. I thought
he seemed really sad.
He looked destroyed when he got eliminated.
Like, I guess beyond, I did not like, pay attention after he got eliminated.
He looked really sad. I agree. And then even in Last Chance Kitchen, he just seemed really sad the whole time.
He seemed like he was out. Like, he wasn't like having fun with it. He was there to get back in. And
yeah.
He was just like, yeah, I'm going to nail this. And
he seemed sad, but like, I will recover. Like, I'll put the pieces back together, you know?
Yeah, I didn't get quite so strong a like distraught vibe off of him.
Especially since we know that as soon as he left that, he got promoted to head chef at the restaurant he was at. Like, he's doing fine.
He is doing fine. But also there's this weird thing that happens, and I don't think we've really talked about it much, but Last Chance Kitchen, do you notice that everybody has like a little bit better haircut in Last Chance Kitchen?
I think it's
because they film it right before the finale, because the winner of Last Chance Kitchen walks right into the finale.
Right.
So the show is filmed in the summer. Last Chance Kitchen, I think, is filmed relatively live.
Oh,
so it's been a few months.
Interesting.
And so they stagger who comes in for Last Chance Kitchen. But it's totally, like, Katsuji is different. Adam doesn't have the long hair. You know, like, Doug has had some time to deal with whatever's going on.
That's interesting. I think I did say to Megan, like, this could, we don't even know, this could be like a minute later or this could be yesterday.
It's I think there's a significant period of time.
It is really hard to tell what's well, and also I was noticing, yeah, that like Aaron looked really upset the entire Last Chance Kitchen episode we just watched.
Good.
Which is fine. I'm just like, you've seen some stuff, haven't you, sir?
Right. Yeah. You've seen the blog comments about you.
Yeah.
So our buddy Dougie is going home. It was sad. But let's jump into Last Chance Kitchen since we're talking about that anyway.
Oh, also, May 1.
May 1, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good for May.
May 1, Gregory was runner-up. And, the food was generally pretty good except for the proteins.
Yeah, 3 whiffs with the proteins and 1 possibly, like, inedibly gross one. But generally pretty good. Julia
would
be proud.
Can I ask, like, do you guys think – I just felt like the air of this was almost more fear than, like, going to do a great job.
Everybody was so reverent.
Everybody was so reverent. And, yeah, I think I'm so freaked out by cooking for Jacques that, like, it didn't feel – in the way that, like, when they turn out dishes where everyone's like, wow, we're really just, you know, we're choosing based on tiny, tiny mistakes. It felt like this was a much more obvious level of mistake, and I felt like the chefs – were messing up more because they were more scared.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how, like, if you build a challenge that's almost, like, too awe-inspiring for chefs, like, they're not going to knock it out of the park the way they will. It's like, take an author and do some stuff.
Yeah, take an author was way more consistent and a harder choice than this.
Yeah.
I was surprised that this one did knock it, like, was as hard for people, but I guess it's just because I don't know enough about French techniques.
Yeah, I think it was more about the French cooking than it was, I mean, clearly about Julia Child, but also more about, like, there's one way to do it and you got to nail it, you know?
Right. Yeah. Like, a lot of the challenges, they have incredibly famous and well-respected chefs judging it, and this is just the memory of her, and I feel like can't be as intimidating.
The 3 Boston area chefs who were at the table were also pretty formidable.
Yeah, but really every challenge they've had formidable judges. I think it was probably a lot of the technique and the time constraint.
Yeah, and just the certain style that she did it. You know, it was like she did it her way, and there's one way to hit the nail on the head.
And that is to keep the vegetables separate.
Yes.
Build little tiny walls.
Yeah.
So,
I hope we're not, like, oversimplifying what it is to do French cooking well. I certainly don't want to, like, offend anybody.
Sure we are.
If we're wrong, write us.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's, like, a really high art form. And the only other thing I was going to say is, like, pretty much every contestant was, like, this is something I watched when I was a child, and these were people that I idolized, like, before I even knew I wanted to be a chef. So I feel like just that layer is not to be overlooked.
It's like you're cooking for God.
In like 20 years, do you think there'll be kids who are on a cooking show where they watch tapes of Padma and a giant sausage conversation and are like, that's what inspired me to cook?
Yeah.
I think people probably get like that about Tom already.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
Gosh, Julia visited Tom's restaurant.
On her birthday every year.
Oh. That was so cool.
Tom is such a badass.
Yeah.
Also, I every time they show pictures of Tom with hair, I just lose it. I don't know why it's such a mindfuck.
Sort of crazy that he used to have hair. All right, we gotta get moving. The Last Chance Kitchen, though. So they took Dougie. They threw him into the pot of a bunch of angry chefs on stools.
And Adam stew.
Yeah, and he Katsuji and Adam stew, and they made them cook liver, which is not the same as foie, right? Like, it seems like a very...
No, it's not.
Like, foie is the greatest delicacy, and liver seems like everyone hates it, so it's kind of a...
Foie is liver.
I know.
But it's a special kind of liver.
Yeah, it's like liver that's less bad tasting. Everyone... It seemed like all 3 of them were super angry to be cooking with liver. No one was like, oh, sweet, liver.
Ducky said, I cook with liver all the time. I'm going to do great at this.
Yeah, but he was like, head down, going to nail it, not like, what a fun thing. And Katsuji had never cooked with liver because
it's not kosher.
Yeah. And Adam just hated it? I don't know.
Yeah, he was not happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not a happy group.
Well, and he was the one who said, like, nobody in this kitchen is happy right now.
Yeah. That's maybe I was just listening to him. Yeah. Well, except for Tom. Tom was like, it's smoky but smells great.
Yeah.
Tom was the only one enjoying it. Maybe because he's not working.
Yeah. This is Tom's vacation.
Also, why do they tell them to leave the kitchen when we know they have to be sitting on the stools in the kitchen? That's so weird. Because
they don't have a stool at that time. They have to go get their own stool and bring it back.
There's nothing else to watch.
We have to go requisition a stool from our comptroller.
I love the idea that they like hand them a stool and make them drag it out of the kitchen.
Just that scraping on floors.
So they all cooked liver and onions.
Yes.
Dougie with pork liver and caramelized onions. Adam, cow liver with onions and peppers. And Katsuji, goat liver with onions inside a salsa with Mexican flavors. All of them did really well, except Katsuji, who'd never done liver before, didn't know how to clean it, and so it was sinewy and gross.
Yeah. I hate that
the
word.
The flavors were pretty good.
Everyone said it was pretty delicious. I do hate that word, too. Sinewy is a gross description of something.
Yeah.
Sometimes I talk about people that way. I don't like that either.
Yeah, it makes me think of someone chewing on someone's arm or something.
Yeah.
Well, like, he's like his sinewy arms and, like ripping.
Oh, I always think it's helpful. It's a better way to describe something than ropey.
Oh, God. Ropey is... Okay.
Ropey arm. Ropey torso.
Ropey torso is horrifying.
Chris is really unhappy about the phrase ropey.
Yep.
Ropey torso, my DJ name.
DJ Ropey Torso. I could see that being a venue. Like, come catch me later at the Ropey Torso.
The line is long, but I might get a drink there.
I think my favorite... So we got very, very little bit of feedback this week, but we do have one really good...
Mailbag!
Good. You guys are getting a little slow, too. It's the holidays. But we got one great mailbag today from Jay, number one, who is this time commenting on packyourmics.com because he's keeping us on our toes. And he said, probably the best part of the whole thing for me was in Last Chance Kitchen at the end when all of the chefs were prepping their liver and onions, and there was a lingering shot of the Glad products in the pantry with odor shield.
That was good.
He was like, yeah, Tom may have thought the kitchen smelled great, but in my opinion, there couldn't have ever been a better product kitchen match than liver onions and odor shields. So, good catch, Jay.
That's
an
excellent catch, Jay.
I'm sure that place smelled terrible. But I'm glad they didn't do a close-up on ranch, because that would have been really weird.
Yeah, those ranch commercials in the Last Chance Kitchen segments are something.
Mm. Yeah, if ostensibly you're like a food person, and, like, you know, you're watching this because you're interested in, like, interesting things going on with food, the last thing you want to see an ad for is ranch dressing powder. Right?
I don't, maybe,
unless you're,
maybe
like,
that's...
doing your own Top Chef challenges in your kitchen, and you're like, now I have to take this ranch dressing powder.
Or what if you're just really bad and you think that's in Five Spice?
Yeah, that's right. The Five Spices are, like, clove, Szechuan pepper, ranch dressing powder.
Valley brand.
Yeah.
And scary spice, and that's it.
Scary, yeah. Yeah.
Has anyone thought to market a six spice? Because that would take it to the next level.
Oh yeah, it's like
the six spice doesn't exist.
Yeah, you know, it was dead the whole time.
This is the same thing as like men's razors, where they just keep adding things.
Exactly, every year. Seven spice, the new thing.
Ever notice there's nothing between Five Spice and Allspice? Well, we've got a solution.
Yeah. Presenting 12 Spice, now with French onion.
French onion dip powder.
Yeah. Just add sour cream.
So in this, what do you guys think of this continuing format for Last Chance Kitchen, where two of them move on out of three?
Well, isn't next week going to be the last Chance Kitchen?
That's what we think.
There's still... I guess it just depends on how many people are in the finale, right?
Right.
Because they were even speculating about this in the episode.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, do you think it's a final four situation or is it a final three? Like,
well,
the chefs wanted to know.
Yeah, I don't think it could be final four because there are four left and they weren't like, and you're all going to Mexico.
I read somewhere that there was only one more regular episode before the finale, which would take care of this, but I don't remember where I read that. But I think they're going to eliminate one, bring one back, and then they're going to do – because it's a multi-part finale. So I think it's going to be like four down to three and then three cook or something like that.
You don't think there'll be like an auto-eliminate quick fire?
Well, yeah, there might be a quick – oh, what if they did a sudden death quick fire next week?
Sudden death, or just a quick fire with immunity. Why not?
George sudden death quick fire? Yeah, where they just eliminate George right away.
You know what? Loser's George. Sorry.
You're right. We did the quick fire while you were asleep, and we have eliminated George. I don't feel bad about it at all. Well, let's do. Who do you guys think is in the finale then? What do you think is the. Who are the final three cooking it off?
Sorry, Melissa.
Yeah.
I think it's George May, Greg.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
So not the Last Chance
Kitchen? Yeah, not Last Chance Kitchen.
But who's.
Oh, the sorry. Last I mean, I think Dougie makes it to the finale.
I do too.
Yeah, I think.
I hope so.
Doug, Greg, and May would be the perfect finale, so my heart is predicting that.
Yeah.
And it's Doug gets through the Last Chances, and Gregory and May are the ones left over from the regular one, and that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dougie outcooks Melissa in Last Chance.
Okay, yeah. here's a question.
Is he going to get to the last Chance Kitchen?
Here's why I don't think Adam's going to get to the end.
He's going to assist somebody in a really great way.
Yeah, he'll be a great Sue. Here's why I don't think he's going to get to the end is because he was really proud of himself today in the interview and said he's the reigning champion of Last Chance Kitchen after being not mentioned as the middle person. Tom clearly said that Dougie had the best and Katsuji had the worst, and
yes.
There's no way you can interpret that as you being the reigning champion.
Middle person.
He's been there the longest?
Yeah.
Yeah, tenure-wise, absolutely.
Yeah, he's the reigning not have been eliminated, but that's not the same thing, and so I think he doesn't have the champion spirit.
So guys, aside from George, is there anyone who could possibly win at this point? Last chance or not last chance, that you would have a problem with?
I don't want Adam to win the entire show.
Yeah.
But I think if Adam or George wins, I'd be upset. But if anybody else wins, I'd be super happy for them.
I'd be upset if Melissa won.
I'd be pretty surprised, but if she, she'd have to have cooked
it, right?
She'd have to have cooked so well that I would buy it.
I wouldn't be like Nicholas Elmy upset because she's a good person.
Yeah. If there was some way that Aaron got put back in the competition and won, then I'd be upset. I would stop watching. That would be the end of the show for me.
Or Carrie Ann.
Oh, yeah. So I think that would be bad. But if Melissa won, it's because she had to have cooked her ass off in the end and won and earned it. And even if George did that, I would just be kind of mystified. But I wouldn't be as upset. I would just be like...
This would be a Hosea situation.
Exactly. I'd be like, it's a very forgettable ending, not like... angry making.
Right.
I'd be disappointed. Yeah. I mean, I think I want Gregory to win. Although Dougie winning would be delightful.
Yeah.
I think between Gregory and May, I think I want May to win. I mean, I want Dougie to win, but
I'd be super happy with May winning too. I think any of the three of them winning, I'd be happy for because they would have had to have earned it, and all three of them are great.
Competition is stiff as well.
Yeah.
Like if you win a finale like this, like it's got to be.
You beat Gregory's curry, and that's impressive. Dougie's how bad he did with the foie though makes me think that he doesn't have the champion spirit either. That he's like he's just too like interested in trying something fun and exciting, and not as focused on just doing something he can do perfectly.
Hmm. I do have a thought on that, which is just that I think every chef, it's a competition, everybody's low on sleep, high on pressure. Every chef makes one bad decision. I mean, Gregory was
at the
historical thing with the goose or whatever. Dougie's was going for this. It's just the timing on when he made that decision was really poor.
Fun fact, the amount of time you need to cook a goose is 3 hours, 20 minutes.
Yeah. I think that's another Top Chef. Like, you make a salad, you're out. You braise something, or there are things that take an hour, and there are things that take 2 hours, and there are things that take 3 hours and 20 minutes.
Yep,
right.
Yeah, time slots.
Yeah,
I hope Top Chef exists long enough into the future that we can have some kind of time dilation type situation where it's like, oh, I have to throw my braise into a faster than light travel, and then it'll be done in time.
Well, that's sort of what they are with the pressure cooker. It like makes
a pressure cooker
time.
Is sort of like a food TARDIS in a way.
Exactly. In a way.
Except that the door is way less reliable.
Yeah, it's way reliable harder. Than
Lugol. Exactly. That's what I was just going to say is if we had that, if you had to throw it into a small time machine, none of them would have practiced opening those.
Well, all the time machines are different, you know, and that's the thing.
All the different models.
If you are going on Top Chef, go buy 5 pressure cookers and just open and close them for an hour.
I've always said this for years.
You're going to need a pressure cooker. You're going to need to open it. That's the all you need to know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if any of those things happen, we'll talk about it next week. If you have any feedback for us, emails podcast@read-weave.com would be the best way. Twitter at packyourmics, facebook.com/packyourmics, and you can send us comments on every episode at packyourmics.com.
Chris, and if you like us, leave us a review on iTunes or rate us or something.
Oh, that's a nice idea.
Yeah, we're getting right into the finale time, and I think you know, we'd love to hear your feedback.
Yeah, we're almost done, you guys.
Here's the thought, guys. Yeah. So we might be done with Boston next episode then also, right?
Yeah.
Mexico.
Yeah, is there anything else that we didn't get out of Boston that we want to make sure we get?
I mean, besides the whole city of Boston, I don't know what else I would say.
Take that back. We love Boston.
I love Boston. I just don't think this show is loving Boston. That's not the same thing. I'm not criticizing Boston.
Take that back, Alex.
Go ahead, Tanya.
I was just going to say, I thought the Herb Lyceum looked absolutely incredible.
Oh, my God.
Certainly want to be there whenever possible.
Is that a famous landmark as well? I had never heard of it.
It's a really nice place.
No, it's an incredible restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't think that's it looks like a really fabulous space too. And like even the kitchen, even when they were like setting up to prep in the kitchen, it was like, wow, that kitchen looks gorgeous. Nicely done.
Yeah, it did look nice. But I guess that's maybe another point at which like they did like a lot of shots of like the sign, but maybe they could have just like explained that it was, you know.
Well, it takes 1 second to show a shot of a sign and maybe 20 seconds to gush about how beautiful the restaurant is, and I think it just comes down to editing.
They could have just
taken out some of the Julia Child impressions,
so they didn't
and
have
put
the time
in just like a little bit on the
on the city of Boston.
Yeah,
I wasn't mad at anyone's Julia Child impression. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah,
as far as the like derpy derp, like goofing around stuff, I enjoyed that a lot.
I'm not crazy about it. I would, we've seen a football player and we've seen the baseball team. I would like them to have to cook on a basketball court in the corner.
Or a hockey rink.
Oh, an empty hockey rink. Okay, I like that idea, actually. If there's just everything had to be on ice and people were slipping and sliding the whole time.
Yeah.
Didn't we already have that in the Korean thing?
Yeah.
We just have the Zamboni is the only cooking utensil you can use.
Somebody makes a ceviche and wants to chill it just by setting it on the ground.
Yeah. Whatever dish you have to have the top layer slightly scraped off by a small machine.
What I am curious about, like if we have Boston listeners, I know we have at least one.
Yeah.
I'm curious if like the way that they've sort of shown us like major restaurants and different landmarks in Boston feels like it feels like it's doing Boston justice to you. Because I just don't know well enough to be like, oh, good, I'm glad they got the Herb Lyceum in there. Like,
and every time I say that people, that they're not doing enough justice to Boston, our people from Boston tell me that I'm being mean to Boston, and that's not what I want. We're on the same team here, Bostonians. I just want...
Alex, don't have Boston, man. I don't know how you can do it.
Yeah. God, why you gotta hate on Boston so much, Alex?
Maybe this is why they think that, is because you guys are persuading them.
We're subtly and not so
it's a liberal media bias thing, Alex?
I think there's some media bias here. Anyway, yeah, Boston listeners, let us know. I would love to hear from you about that. And keep sending us your feedback. We'll be back again next week with possibly the last episode in Boston.
Whoa!
Bold prediction, Alex. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. They have to make a Boston cream pie with baked beans in a Boston market while listening to that Augustana song.
You do make a couple good points in there in that they have not cooked in a Boston market. But also, we've been talking about baked beans since day one. We've seen no baked beans.
None of that baked beans.
Is Boston Market still around?
Oh, yeah, we have one here.
I mean, in Boston, they just call it Market.
All right.
All right, thanks.
I'm good with that.
Thanks for joining us, Ez and Sarah and Baby.
Yeah.
I think the baby took a nap at some point. I haven't seen him in a little
baby
bit.
Baby did take a nap. If he heard like whining, it was because he was trying to take a nap. He didn't want to go.
But he did. I made him.
We're still good parents.
Also, thanks in Brooklyn, Chris and Tanya.
Oh, for sure.
Woohoo!
And Megan here in Portland with me. I'm Alex. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Alex.
And we'll talk to you next week. Chris, pack your mics and go.
What? You know, big risk, big reward. I'm beyond disappointed, but I've had a good run.
Also, watch out, because Sarah will choke you out.
Give me what for? Yeah.
A little what for?
All right, you guys, bye.
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 Nice job, dudes.
Yeah.
It was real fun.
That's too bad.